And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and coming up this Saturday beginning at 6 p.m., it's the centennial 100-year anniversary celebration of the Women's Department Club of Shreveport. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios are Sandra Harold, who is the chair for this event, along with Maggie Malone, who is the PR chair, and they're going to fill us in on the details. Maggie and Sandra, thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me about the history of the Women's Department Club. How did this come about? When was it formed? It's the 100th anniversary, so obviously 1919 is a good year. And what was the mission and what was the sort of vision for the Women's Department Club back then?
Well, back in 1919, the women of the, it was a club known as the Hypatia Literary Club. And the women back then, what they wanted to do was is they wanted to expand their programs and their civic outreach, but there was no suitable venue in order to do that. So the club was organized when women were discouraged somewhat from attending college, mm-hmm. but they still wished to be educated, and so and they wanted to form their own place of learning. And they needed a building in which to do that. So the goal was to build a structure to serve as an educational, a literary, an arts center, and a social center that would be specifically owned by and controlled by these women. So that's how it pretty much got started. When they began, they were furniture was donated. They were sitting around on apple crates and so forth, but they raised enough money through donations and the events that they had that they were able to buy a piece of property on the corner of Margaret and Line. And this was, at that time, this was one of Shreveport's finest neighborhoods back in 1925. 1919 through, you know, early 1900s.
These ladies were meeting in each other's homes. They outgrew the homes, hence they were motivated to build a place. People sometimes call it a mansion or a home, but it never really was a home. It was built as a club. Mm-hmm. They had the design in mind. They hired an architect to design it, and he did so. They tweaked the plans. They raised funds, decided where they wanted to put it. One of the characteristics of the building that most people don't know about, even if they know the building is there, there is a 440-seat auditorium on the second floor. It served as a home for the little theater when the little theater burned and was in transition. People like Eleanor Roosevelt have spoken there. Was it Katharine Hepburn performed there?
Yes.
So it's quite notorious. And we were just speaking about Van Cliburn's mom donated a piano that was his. She has had a passion for the club and donated a piano. It's upstairs on the stage. Quite a treasure. But when they formed the club, there was a woman by the name of Catherine Jackson French. She was a professor at Centenary, and she and the ladies in town that had been meeting in each other's homes, she was an English professor, and they pulled together the club, and she taught once a week there for about 16 years, I think. Mm-hmm. While she was at Centenary.
Now, there's a philanthropic and an educational undertone to the whole club. Tell us about what your outreach is and what you're doing right now in the community.
We have been working with Cresswell Elementary to raise money. What is it, the box tops?
Yes, we collect cereal box tops and box tops that have indicated on it, but they have to have a date on it. And we donate them to Creswell Elementary, and they utilize them for supplies for the children and that way.
And you're also involved right now in creating what you're calling a Centennial Gardens. Tell me about that.
Well, the Centennial Garden was an idea that was adopted a few years back. And the purpose of the garden is to recognize and honor all of the women throughout the years and current that have been in some way involved or with the club and that are still active in the club. And what we decided to do was to purchase bricks. And we're going to have a company that will specifically indicate what dedication you want on the brick. And then from that point, we're going to build a garden with the bricks.
A way of honoring those who have contributed to the club over the years.
For sure.
And, and in another way, really, I think we've decided sort of to open it up and be appropriate for anyone to buy a commemorative brick. If you want to honor someone, they're $100 a piece, and we're selling them at the club. And the garden is going to be in that area between the club and the little theater.
Huh.
So the vision is that it can be used by the little theater, it can be used by the club, it can be used by the community, photographers, anyone that wants to either rent a space or just come by and just enjoy an afternoon outside. The bricks themselves will be, we envision a circular pathway with maybe the founders' names mm-hmm. on the bricks in the center of it, and then it radiates out, you know, encompassing the community and other women who've dedicated part of their lives to the club, and then just make it an area of beauty that everyone can enjoy.
And also the proceeds from the brick garden will go to pay for the upkeep of the club, and that would include painting or some of the beautiful wooden architectural details that are on the building. Repairs it might be needed, and things of that nature.
We jokingly say she doesn't need a facelift, she just needs a facial. she's a grand old lady,
yes,
in need of a facial.
Absolutely.
The founding mothers, I guess we would call them, and the architect, they built a very strong, very yeah. sound building to withstand, and it has withstood. It is a brick building, but the windows and trim work and the fascia, they all need a little help every now and then. And that money, definitely, that is one of the purposes and the uses for the money, to build a garden and, as Sandra said, to take care of the building.
I'd like to also indicate that the mansion was designed in the popular 19th century colonial revival style.
Mm-hmm.
So it has two grand stair entrances. It has graceful staircases, Corinthian columns, gables, and lavish moldings, elegant fireplaces, and they're called Palladian windows that grace the inside of the club. We have a commercial kitchen in there. We've got a bride suite with a dressing room and a bath. And it's just perfect a setting for public and private events.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now let's get to the event at hand. You've got a gala event. You've got a lot of keynote speakers.
Wait.
So let's go through the whole details
of
the entire evening.
Sure, sure. Well, we're calling it the Century of Women Celebration. And it's this Saturday, May 18th, beginning at 6 p.m. So from 6 to 7, we're having a social hour. After that, then we will all proceed to the auditorium, and we will begin. We have a complete program slate to include Liz Swain, who will be moderating some of the program. And then on from there, we have Gail Odom, soprano here in the area.
Mm-hmm.
She will be singing. as well as Siva May, and as well as opera singer Brenda Wimberly.
Yes.
Then as well, we have area pianist Larry Meyer, who will accompany Ms. Wimberly, and then area pianist Rocky Maddox, who will be accompanying Gail and Siva. And then from that point on, we have one of the oldest members, but she is a 50-year member of the club.
Mm-hmm.
She will present a presentation regarding the club when she joined, entitled What Women Can Do. Also, our keynote speaker will be Liza DiSavino. She will present a book in which she's in the process of writing now, and Maggie can expound on that for me. But the evening, we're taking the song selections beginning with 1919, clear through the 2000s, and so our guest will be singing from its era, from the beginning of the inception of this club, clean through to the 2000s. We have song selections from the 60s, some from the 20s, some from the 50s, some in the 2000s. And so that's how we're doing it. And also, it's era cocktail. If you prefer, if you select to wear a dress that was made, that appears to be a roaring 20s dress, feel free. If you want to wear a cocktail from the 60s, feel free. It's just really up to you. So it's going to be fun in that manner, too.
I've got to go out and get me a zoot suit now.
Absolutely. So, yeah. You'll be right in vogue.
You're going to have some fun and
yes.
You go out and dash.
You will be
dash
certainly
your,
in vogue.
Don't forget
fabulous.
The shoes and the hat.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got to have the spats, too.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's a fun-filled evening. Now, you are going to give a history of Katherine Jackson French, are you not? This is going to be a background on her.
Yes.
Fascinating, you know, story behind her. And
absolutely.
Love to hear it.
Right.
So share a little bit about who is going to be talking about her.
Yes.
Yes.
Katherine Jackson French was one of the founders, as I mentioned earlier. She, her career at Centenary spanned about 24 years. And during that time, she did partner with one of the ladies in town's, Cecile Ellerby, a well-known name in mm-hmm. Shreveport. And Professor DiSavino, she is from Kentucky, and so was Katherine Jackson French. She was a ballad writer, and Dr. DiSavino became interested in her and doing some of her research for her master's and her doctorate. And she has most recently undertaken writing a book about Katherine Jackson French. And the name of it is There Was a Fair Maid Dwelling, The Life and Stolen Thunder of Kentucky Ballad Collector Katherine Jackson French. Katherine grew up in Kentucky. She came here, married, came here, and taught at Centenary. Then she went back to Kentucky and ultimately got her ballads published. Huh. Liza DiSavino is also a ballad writer and performer, and she teaches those types of things. She also teaches music and a piano there. She will be sharing about the book, and she will, it's not published yet, but if you so have a desire, she will take an order from.
You can get your pre-order in.
Exactly, yes.
So how do folks reserve seats for this event? And this is free and open to the public, but they have to reserve the seats because it's
yes.
limited seating. How do folks go about doing that?
The only thing that folks need to do is to call the club at area code 318-222-4186 and RSVP. That's all you need do. Again, the number is 318-222-4186.
So do you have any final thoughts about the event and things that you might want to share to get people out?
it's going to be a fun time. We want to visit early on. There will be tours of the building. People can see the upstairs, move around, and then settle in for the event. We look forward to you in your zoot suit.
Okay. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I look forward to finding one. You got to go to a theater shop. You have to go to the little theater and see if they got
a little theater's waiting on you for that.
Yeah, the little theater has just what you need.
Well, Sandra and Maggie, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. That was Maggie Malone, who is the PR chair, along with Sandra Harold, who is the chair for the Centennial 100-Year Anniversary Celebration of the Women's Department Club of Shreveport. And they were here to tell us all about this event, which is coming up this Saturday, beginning at 6 p.m. with a social hour, followed by music and presentations and a history of the club. It's free and open to the public, but you have to reserve your seat beforehand. So for reservations, call 318-222-4186. That's 318-222-4186. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett. All day.